This is the English version of the Swedish radio show Winter on P1 with Johan Rockström. The program is a very well-known radio show in Sweden where a person is given the freedom to talk about whatever they want and play whatever music they like.
Dear friends, welcome to 2020, the year of truth. The moment of truth for our future on Earth. The year when the rapid rising curves of global environmental change, our damage to the planet, must start bending downwards to give us a chance of having a stable planet to live on. This might sound alarmist, but it is only laying out the facts. This is the place to which all of the misguided roads of the last 50 years have taken us. Don't misunderstand me. We've made phenomenal progress where we are producing more food and human well-being than ever before. But these things have happened entirely at the expense of our planet. Our planet has been forgiving for the past 150 years of industrial development and globalization, but has now hit the ceiling what she can tolerate, and she did this already some 30 years ago. Throughout this period, the science has been clear and the knowledge is there for those who want to know. But political ineptitude, economic short-sightedness, systematic manipulation by powerful stakeholders, and media's inability to deal with loud, marginal, and false climate change denial has resulted in a negative cocktail that has slowed down action on climate change. And now we are where we are. A political failure. We have lost 30 years since the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, submitted its first report. We've lost 10 years since the failure of the climate summit in Copenhagen, when the problem was finally to be solved. And now, it's 5 years since we signed the Paris Accord in 2015. Despite all the good intentions and the upscaling of renewable energy, global emissions of greenhouse gases continue to rise by 1 to 2% per year. We are burning more oil, coal, and natural gas than ever before, just when we promised we would stop. And this is only one side of the coin. Behind a stable climate, there is a resilient and strong biosphere, living nature in the oceans and on land. But our animals, plants, forests, soils, ice sheets, and seas are following the same potentially disastrous trends. The fact is that the planet is in a state of emergency. What we do this year and the following 1-2 years will probably affect the living conditions of all future generations. It is about the future of our children, mine and yours, and their children. And don't forget, we live in a world with 7.7 billion inhabitants, all with the same right to a decent life. The world's population will grow to around 10 billion people in just 30 years. We have close to 1 billion people living in absolute poverty, poverty that we have agreed to eradicate by 2030. We have a world economy of almost $90 trillion per year, forecasted to more than double over the coming 30 years. It is this rapidly growing world that we must keep within Earth's safe operating space. To stop global warming, all countries in the world need to reduce their emissions by approximately 6 to 7% per year. If we delay, emission reductions need to be even faster, and that is simply not possible. 6 to 7% per year is already incredibly fast. It's a pace of revolution. And politically, unfortunately, the picture looks anything but rosy. Trump has withdrawn from the Paris Accord, and he did so with the most destructive and dishonest message one can imagine. The world's richest country cannot afford to implement the Paris Accord to ensure that Americans can continue their current levels of consumption. When Saudi Arabia listed its state oil company Aramco on the stock exchange market, it immediately became the world's highest valued company. It is clear the market is betting on the Paris Accord failing. This is our current situation. The moment of truth is now. Are we serious about this or are we not? It's time to rise up. 5 years ago, when we met in Paris, I was still optimistic. The window was still open, and the planet wasn't exhibiting too many causes for catastrophic concern. Now things are different. Today, I'm genuinely worried. I don't know if we're going to make it. I will, in this program, make a public confession, rub scientific salt in the wound, declare war, call for revolution, and provide a 10-point agenda on what I believe needs to be done in the world in the next 10 years. My name is Jan Rockström. I'm a professor in Earth System Sciences and the director of the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany. Boris Johnson takes the stage at the United Nations headquarters in New York during the Heads of State Climate Summit in September 2019. And with his disarmingly boyish and highly calculated style, gave his full support to declaring a state of planetary emergency. His punchline was typical for Boris Johnson. There are more UN bureaucrats in the world than there are Indian tigers on Earth. There are more heads of state than there are humpback whales. At this pace of destruction of our planet, we have reached a state of planetary emergency. Before him, Frans Timmermans, Executive Vice President of the European Commission and responsible for the European Green New Deal, had said that he too, along with another 8 heads of state, supported the declaration of a state of planetary emergency. To declare a state of planetary emergency is no small thing. When you think about it, if it ever has to happen, it can only occur once during our existence on Earth. So, the big scientific question is, are we facing catastrophic risks which would justify declaring a state of planetary emergency? 19 years ago, in 2001, when the third IPCC report was released, the assessment was that big catastrophic risks, such as permanently losing Greenland or the Western Antarctica, might perhaps occur at 5 to 6 degrees Celsius of global warming. In other words, it was virtually unthinkable. In 2018, 2 IPCC reports later, and after the IPCC's 1.5 degrees Celsius report, we know better. The risk of catastrophic warming has crept down to between 2 and 3 degrees. This is the new risk landscape we're faced with. Go above 2 degrees, and we are at risk of permanently damaging our chances on Earth. At the moment, we are on track to reach between 3 to 4 degrees warming in just 80 years, when your children have their own adult children. Today, we have more scientific evidence than ever before. Just since the 1970s, we have managed to wipe out 60% of populations of vertebrate animals on Earth, which has also resulted in the loss of species, such as the West African black rhino, the Asian river dolphin, and the Tasmanian tiger. Today, over 60% of mammals in the world are livestock, cows and pigs. Only 4% are wild animals in nature. We have polluted our environments with such large volumes of microplastics, nitrogen, phosphorus, and other chemicals that the very foundation of our prosperity, natural ecosystems, are showing alarming cracks. And the devastating moral implications of our behavior is made painfully clear when we look at images of dead whales with their bellies crammed full of our plastic waste. But the risk landscape in itself is not sufficient to declare something as drastic as a state of planetary emergency. Time is also running out. The window to avoid major catastrophes is still open, but only barely. During the next decade, global emissions must be cut by half and we must halt the loss of species on Earth. That's the reason, that's the basic justification for declaring a state of planetary emergency. The idea is not to create panic or scare people into taking action. We have done this because you have a right to know, and because there is still time. The window to a manageable planet is still open.
Professor Jovan Rockström on Swedish Radio. He's director of the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany. More from him next week.